Pats are back on the field. It's training camp with Zolak and Bertrand. Sponsored by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bertrand. It's the 1 o'clock hour here in Foxborough. 617-779-0985.
The blowers are out.
The blowers and mowers.
If you hear that humming.
Jay, if you could flip one of those cameras around sometime this hour, yeah, that'd be terrific. Because it's going to be the first time we've ever been able to show the listeners what it is that happens out here after practice.
Awesome. Yeah.
You can hear it. I know you can hear it.
Sure you can.
Oh, look at that. Look at that thing. Just flip right around.
It's like a R2-D2.
As you can see, they're now blowing the field with blowers, which I don't understand because they throw the seed down, right?
Well, the seed's like that. It's like, it's not really, it's like a combo.
Yeah.
It's a combination of,
seed and sand.
Fertilizer, sand, seed, yeah, and a little bit of dirt. And it's like golf. You know, but they just replace that divot.
But they just went and did that.
It's how you throw it, though. It's like shaking the dice and just.
But they were already out there doing it. Now they're blowing it. Doesn't that just blow it all away?
Well, they're blowing the little clumps that kind of come up throughout, and they don't want any lumps. They want it flat. They don't want you planting and slipping.
This coming,
so they're blowing it right across
from an agricultural business major.
Absolutely,
at Maryland, Scott Zolak.
They have this thing down to science. High octane blowers.
What do you say about that? You couldn't get into the business school, so you went to the agricultural business, and your yard now looks great.
You need a 3.5 to get into the business school, Maryland. Yeah. That obviously I did not have.
Right.
So I went into agricultural business. I was going to go into communications. My mother said they were going to be in communications.
Look at you now. Look at you now.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I did.
I did that for 5 years.
Yeah.
But, so I could grow turf, boy. Those were some fun days going to turf farms.
I got some inside juice on you talking to a group of people the other night, Zoe.
I do, too. I heard about that.
Same story. Yeah, talking about talking to a bunch of agricultural guys, like, and you pretty much said, I couldn't get in business school, so I went to school to be like you guys. I got a good lawn, though.
That's right.
It's basically what it was.
Yeah,
I also heard you made some comments about not knowing hockey. Is there something in there about that?
I said, the key when you get into this is not to be like super hyper specific.
Yeah.
You don't need to know everything about a single thing. You need to know a little bit about everything.
A lot. Yeah.
And I said, whenever you talk about that little bit, just pretend like you know what you're talking about. You know, just be confident, know the room. And then just fool them.
Hardy, is that the same feedback you received?
I didn't get that much detail, no. I mean, mine was pretty much limited to his failure to get into business school, going agriculture instead.
Where the hell did you get this from? From
Moles.
My sources. I have sources.
Inside sources.
Nice.
Inside sources.
Yeah.
I think, I'm trying to remember. Did someone tell you look like Chris Sims?
No. There was a kid there that looked like exactly like Chris Sims. I said, where's your mother and father? I said, is Phil Sims here? Kid had that blonde hair. It was real short and tight. It was combed to the side. And he had that goofy smile on like Chris Sims always has.
Yeah, that was it. That was basically the gist of it. But that you also brought up UMass.
Oh, yeah.
UMass. You love the Minutemen.
Go UMass.
There was a kid here today with a great UMass shirt on.
Yeah, he had no clue.
And we were like, hey, UMass, what's up, kid? And he turned around and looked at us. We're like, yeah, nice shirt. And he's like,
He didn't get it, though. He's one of those kids that wears his hat.
He's certainly not. He's too young to go. He's probably like 12, 11 or 12.
Like, it's a baseball hat. You have your hat on, right? Pull the brim down like a man.
By the way, this is really working, Nick, because these lights we have for TV are really bright.
Yes. These aren't as bad as
the sun is in and out. Right. And I got to say, like, this perfectly blocks it out so I can open, you know, the eyes without feeling like I'm going to go blind.
See, my man Max Lane, who I play with, he puts his hat on the back of his head and the brim's up here. It's like Baby Huey. I'm like, no. Take the damn hat off, put it on, put the front down, and pull the back on. Yeah, get the sun out of your ass.
Like, is that so hard?
No.
Is that such a hard thing to do?
It's not.
It's not at all.
And the key is finding a hat that fits.
Let's talk about the holdout situation.
Yeah.
Because I can't believe the Atlanta Falcons caved on bringing back Julio Jones. Like, day one?
What did I tell you yesterday?
Day one?
What do you think?
What are you doing?
What are we going to do with our little Matt Ryan, who means so much to the program and has had everything gift-wrapped for him? We give him all this talent. We had Roddy White. We gave him Gonzalez. We had all these good backs. These backs that can run. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. What is our first one?
Hey, we have it. We have our first TV.
It's like a bullet. Wow.
What happened down there, buddy? You okay?
You didn't see it?
We should probably take this down. It's getting windy.
It's not raining. We can take it down now.
Almost got hit by one of these.
Pull it down.
It's
not raining. It's dry. Take it down. We're dry, right?
It's a high tension clip.
Yeah, I don't want to get. Look, there's another one hanging. I don't want to get hit with that. I don't want to get hit with any of those.
That hurt.
Did you get hit with it?
Based on what happened with your garage door a couple of years ago, you don't want to be messing around with high tension anything.
Bingo.
Anymore.
Anything tension. Anything.
Thank you,
Dennis.
Not good with tension.
Dennis, don't
just going to screw my hair up.
Fabulous job. Oh, now that wind is. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
That's probably better.
Oh, my God.
Let the wind through.
This is great.
Let the wind through.
This is nice, huh? Wow.
We just saw the TV feed in here in the control room.
It's like
room.
That damn Yeti. Remember I threw that Yeti?
I hope the mic... I hope the mics picked it up. I hope they did.
They're picking up that nice breeze you just requested. We're getting that.
Yeah.
Loud and clear.
Hey, guys.
There's
live TV.
There's no winning here.
They got me on live TV now.
There's no winning.
Now it sounds like you guys are broadcasting on the deck of a destroyer. I mean, I don't know what's going to end up being the best result here.
If you're an individual personal pilot, you know, and you're kind of one of those guys that got the hobby and I'm a pilot in my off time, today's really not the type of day you really want to, you know, kind of get that prop going in the front, get that plane up there.
Dennis, now we have the wind. He said he's got us.
He's got us. We're good.
He's got us.
We're good. Man, it's not like we haven't had wind games and stuff. So.
Did he just negate the wind? How'd you do that?
He's got a new job title.
How's it sound now, Hardy?
Sounds great.
He did. Right. What were we talking about? Julio Jones.
Yeah.
I can't believe they caved.
Well, Matt Ryan, he's got to have all his guys. You know, I mean, he can't carry anybody else. It's the last time that guy carried a team with nobody around him.
So what it does is basically shifts the money around in the deal and converts it to more upfront money. They didn't have to give him any more money. So I guess in one way you say...
When you're carrying...
I guess in one way you say they didn't give him a raise. They didn't cave. They didn't cave in giving him a raise. They just shifted it. So
right.
The real money out being paid to the guy is still the same.
It is still the same. But, I mean, you don't know what hidden bonuses are going to be, what other things. And when we get the real upfront money. You know, we talk about real money being paid out to the players.
Right.
You know, obviously, he's happy because he was going to get fined $600,000 a week, which could be over $2.4 million.
Well, his game checks was $40,000 a day.
Wow.
And game checks are worth $617,000 a week.
That's a lot of money, man.
And
a lot of money. Even for that guy, it's a lot of money.
And you know what? If we were going to break down...
They caved. Because they were the ones that opened the door and said, yeah, we'll open the books and see what we can do.
But they didn't give him any more money, which I do give them credit for. Like, at least you didn't do that. There's no reason to. He's got 3 years left on his deal.
Unless there's some handshake, let's get through this year. We're going to redo your deal next year.
Well, they were already saying that. Did you hear that?
Yes.
They were saying before, you know, he announced he was going to hold out. He wasn't going to play. And they were saying, well, we'll negotiate your deal, but not until next year. When you have 2 years to go, I get it when you have a year left and you're going into the final year. And I have, you know, some understanding of that. But a guy with 3 years left to go, we were going to talk a little bit about this today. Who has the best case out of the holdouts in the NFL? I'll tell you who it wasn't. Julio Jones. He wasn't dramatically underpaid. He got a big contract when he signed it a few years ago.
It's the first guy I thought of when Brandon Cooks got it, when that deal got done. That's the first guy I thought of. What the hell is Julio Jones make? I go and look, just tad over $10-11 million. I'm like, oh.
But $10-11 million when he signed the contract was big, high-end money.
Well, that same thing as Rob Gronkowski.
It happens with every player.
Rob Gronkowski is the highest-paid tight end until here comes Kelce. Here comes the next guy. You know, here comes Jordan Reed.
But it's not like it's Julio Jones at the end of a rookie deal where he hasn't really made any money.
Correct.
It's not that.
Correct. And then you got to understand, okay, where are we as a team? Okay, we had a bad Super Bowl loss 2 years ago. We came up short in the playoffs again. We beat the Rams. Should have beat Philadelphia. You had a chance to beat Philadelphia in that game. That should have been a rematch in that Super Bowl. So you got to understand, okay, they're paying my quarterback. They're paying me. They're paying other guys. They just paid Devontae Freeman. If we want to stay together as a team, we all got to come to the assumption that we're going to make good money, but we just don't want to break the bank. they just become one of those sucky teams in the league. Did you want to become the Rams? Go ahead.
Did you happen to catch Jerry Jones doing his opening press conference yesterday?
I did not.
Why don't we hear a little bit of that coming back on the other side? Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys.
Here.
Yeah, it's just a little wind. It's dry. I can actually see the sun trying to peek through the clouds. Zolak and Bertrand here in Foxborough. Don't go anywhere.
Zolak and Bertrand. They're Zolak and Bertrand. Overlooking the practice field. Training camp coverage is sponsored by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Jerry, just one more thing on the anthem. To my understanding, the new owner's policy allows players to stay in the locker room who choose to. Would you support a player who felt strongly that he needed to stay in the locker room during the playing of the anthem?
Is that for me or Jason?
For you.
For me. No, our policy is that you stand at the anthem, toe on the line.
Cowboys owner Jerry Jones at the introductory press conference, the start of training camp press conference for the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. He was up there along with Jason Garrett.
Yep.
We are live for Patriots training camp here in Foxborough, and this hour of training camp coverage is also brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union.
And the wind.
That was and wind. That was his answer on the policy. You know, the NFL policy allows for players to stay in the locker room during the anthem.
Pretty clear, though. I mean, at least he answered the question.
Yeah, he says
no,
go.
Him hauling or, you know, I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to meander around, and, you know, we'll see. You know, we're still talking about, no, you're going to stand, you're going to toe the line.
Going to stand there.
Stand there, salute the flag of the Americans.
That question for me or Jason?
That for me or Jason?
For you.
For me.
Or Jason. For me.
See, what's really good is the person asking the question goes, Jerry, I wanted to ask you.
If we could play it.
Not for me. Give me the beginning of that again,
play
Jim.
It again.
The beginning of the question.
Just one more thing on the anthem. To my understanding,
yeah. And it was a follow-up. Oh. It was a follow-up, though, to a previous one.
Sorry.
And by the way, I watched way too much of this thing last night. I watched probably 10, 12, maybe even more than that, minutes of that press conference. And that was a part of the press conference that was all Jerry. There were other parts where the other guys sort of took it over and then took their questions.
Right.
So that was his part of it. The follow-up on top of that question right there was related to the president making comments about the NFL pretty frequently. And here's what Jerry Jones had to say. Here's the question and the answer.
Does the president returning to this subject regularly make it more difficult for you and the union to come to some kind of agreement on this situation?
Yes, his interest in what we're doing is problematic from my chair. And I would say, in general, the owner's chair. Unprecedented, if you really think about it. And like the very game itself, that's the way it is, and we'll deal with it. We feel strongly about how we deal with it, and we'll do so accordingly. But, yes, I'd like... Everybody would like for it to go away.
Jerry. It's problematic now. It's problematic that the president is commenting about his players and about his league. Let me ask you a question. He said it's problematic that he continues to, you know, chime in.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he chime in last time?
Who?
The president. What, did he just wake up one morning and say, you know what, today seems like a day I want to tweet about the NFL? Is that how that went?
No, league made a rule. League came down a rule and said everybody's going to stay in the locker room. If you don't want to stand, then you can stay in the locker room.
Yeah.
And then players weren't happy with that.
So nobody was talking about the anthem issue.
The NFLPA got upset.
Nobody was talking about it. The president wasn't talking about it. Talk show hosts weren't talking about it. Talking heads on political channels weren't talking about it.
We were at the Super Bowl. Everybody stood.
Not discussed.
It was dead.
It was a largely dead issue in the NFL.
NFL brought it. Blame yourselves.
And the only way the NFL could do it, which is they piss off everybody in the process. That's a special skill. Where the NFL owners piss off both sides.
Yeah.
They piss off their players, and they make the president angry with the policy allowing the players to stay in the locker room.
The
owners, Jerry Jones and company, and every other owner in the NFL, brought it back to life.
Yeah.
And now you say, oh, it's problematic. And as far as I can tell, the president tweeted about it again recently when what happened? Oh, the NFL had to reverse the most recent policy that they had put forth because their players were saying, no, you didn't discuss it with us. Yeah. This wasn't discussed. This isn't part of our CBA.
It's called collectively bargained.
Now the owners publicly announced that it's on hiatus?
Yeah. We're going to put that on the back burner.
That's your own ineptitude.
But
that's not the curious president getting involved.
Me, the owner.
That's you.
Me, the owner.
You're problematic.
The owner of the most valued sports franchise in the world, in sports. Number one on Forbes' list. The Dallas Cowboys. Says, you're going to stand. You're going to toe that line. Everybody up. Everybody up. Well, I thought I got backburned. How do we know that now?
Now there's this other side issue that they've created where different teams are putting forth policies. You know, the Miami Dolphins are putting in policies. They're saying they could potentially suspend players up to four games. I mean, this is a NFL disaster of typical NFL proportions. This isn't unusual, this level of dysfunction.
And this is coming from a team where Danny Amendola said, yeah, we got a players coach. He's one of us, one of our buddies, man. But you know what? If we don't stay in, he's gonna suspend us.
God.
Is that your buddy?
I just think that is
that not your buddy?
That is such a cop-out.
They don't know what they're doing.
Are you going to blame it on somebody else? You got nobody to blame but yourself at this point.
Somebody asked me
this
question.
Isn't last September when the issue sort of came up and then you've got the president commenting. No, that's not what this is. This is you bringing it back up now. This is you creating problems that you didn't even have.
This is simple. You play the national anthem. And I was asked this the other night. What are your thoughts on it? And I said, I stand. That's what I do. I said, but then I got to think about it as a player. What did we do as players? You know, were there issues? Yeah, there's always issues in this country. No doubt about it. You know, we were dealing with guys of 53 different walks of life and backgrounds and where you grow up. But, wow, we stayed in the locker room. I remember being in the locker room. We were kneeling down doing our prayer, and you could hear the national anthem being played because the whole stadium kind of vibrates. And you do a flyover, and then you go out, and everybody cheers.
Yeah. And you weren't disrespecting anybody by not being out there for it.
No. And then we all sat there, and we wasn't
part of the deal.
We all took a knee, whatever you were, whether you're atheist, whether you were Jewish, whether you were a Christian. Everybody came together, held hands, knelt, and we said the Lord's Prayer, and we went out and played football. And now we're just complicating things, man.
No, Jerry Jones.
Yeah, well,
Jerry Jones and his owners are complicated.
Is he speaking for the owners now? Is that what Jerry's doing?
Well, no, because he said he didn't want to speak for the owners. He said, I don't want to speak for the other 31 owners.
It seems
he did say that. He's only speaking for himself, but he's trying to lay blame on someone other than the NFL and the league and the league office and the owners.
If you want to
point a finger at somebody right now, point it at them.
Put the puzzle together. It seems like all these owners are on the same page because Miami, the message came out, you're going to get fined if you don't stand, right? Now all of a sudden, Jerry's telling you, you're going to stand. You're going to toe the line. I think all these owners understand.
Do you think that would happen here?
What's that?
That they fine or suspend players?
No.
No?
No, I don't.
So I don't think they're on the same page. Because I think for every team that says that, there's another team that said, no, we wouldn't do that to our players.
That's why it's off and they're still talking
that's
about
why
it.
That's why they're a mess.
This is why it's a mess and they're still talking.
Jerry.
I'm so tired of talking about this.
Jerry. Take some blame, Jerry.
Go back to the 90s.
There's many people that would say you're the most powerful NFL owner. You're the team. You've got the team that is worth the most money. That team is worth more money than any other sports franchise on planet Earth, according to Forbes, the latest list. Give me a break. Take some blame. Take some responsibility for it for once. You created a problem when the problem had pretty much gone away.
And it was also him. Remember the one that it both ways where he locked arms with his players.
Oh, and what they do,
they all took the knee.
Stupidity.
But here's what we're going to do. When they start playing that song, that American song, y'all going to stand up. We're going to toe that line.
We're going to circumcise a mosquito.
Give me a little more glory hole. A little more zone, a little less man, a little more glory hole. Man. Oh. Yeah, both ways, Jerry. Kneel, then stand. One or the other, buddy. Make a decision. So,
all right.
Here we are again talking about this.
Here we are. Yeah, but issue. Because it's going to be an issue now. Yeah. Well, because they've brought it back up. They've revived it.
Good for you.
Jerry Jones and his friends have revived it. Now they want to blame other people for it. 617-779-0985. Open phone lines. Anything on the Patriots from today. We've got this issue with Jerry Jones and the Cowboys wanting to blame everybody but himself.
Got Adam Jones and the Winter Red Sox.
And why don't we get back to that? Last night's Red Sox debacle and their trade.
I want Adam Jones
and crying about the cancellation in Baltimore. I do feel for the Red Sox a little bit.
Yeah.
I do. We'll get to that coming up next after headlines.
This is your home for every Patriots game. Patriots game live from training camp. Sponsored by AdCare. 1-800-ALCOHOL. It's Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Why would Orioles starting these games? Why would they do that to us? Why? Life isn't fair. Wasted our time. We had a win taken away from us. The league is out to get us. Big bad Orioles.
Oh, Jones.
Kudos.
Jones is special.
He was unique last night.
He's a national treasure.
Yep. Thank you, Jim Murray, for bringing that to my attention. Because he said, if you don't have Adam Jones on right now, you are missing out.
Last night.
He did probably the whole hour like Elmer Fudd.
Red Sox were furious. Furious about their game getting canceled last night in the second inning.
A game that
in their defense, should not have been started. They should not have started and played that game.
That's what should have happened. And this is what happened. They saw the rain, and the Orioles tried to squeeze 4.5 innings in. A 4 2/3, whatever the hell the requirement is. They tried to smack one in, get it out, get your ass kicked, and let's get out of Dodge. Now you got to do a makeup game. Now you got to readjust your schedule. Now you miss a start with David Price. Now your rotation's off. I mean, I don't, you know, it is. It's a pain in the rear for the Red Sox. You know why? Because you're the visiting team. If you were the home team, this one on, wouldn't have an issue with it. Wouldn't have an issue.
But here's the problem.
Probably would bug you.
Nobody is going to feel bad for the best team in baseball when this happens.
That's what happens.
Okay,
it's
just not.
The Patriots. Oh, you're going to Mexico? Poor Patriots got to go to Denver. Then they're going to play there for
then
half a week.
Then they got to go to Oakland and play them in Mexico.
Then they got to go to Mexico and not drink the water.
So,
oh, poor Patriots. Exactly. That's exactly what we're dealing with.
That's what Jones
does.
That's
what happens when you're good. Red Sox should be happy. Because you're upset because you feel someone's trying to knock you down.
Remember,
because you know why you're starting to feel it.
Remember Jones kept making the case last year that going to Mexico to play Oakland was actually an improvement because it was a neutral site game.
Neutral site game. You didn't have to play on the road. An idiot.
And it was not a road game.
Yeah,
it was a neutral site game.
That moron didn't sit 3.5 hours of traffic from the airport to the hotel and smog like I did
and
after three connectors.
Therefore, it was
easy. Oh, that was an away game, Jones.
Not an away game because there was no home field advantage.
Dark nerd.
The Oakland Raiders did not have any sort of advantage that they both had to deal with the same issues.
Right.
And therefore, it was better than a road game. That's what it was.
Jones.
Oh, man.
Jones.
listen, I get why the Red Sox are pissed off. They shouldn't have played the game. To think that there's some sort of grand conspiracy, come on. Like the Orioles are out to get you.
Yeah.
Buck Showalter's out to get you. Buck Showalter has become like the Red Sox boogeyman.
Do you think Buck Showalter,
wanted
to sit there
hours? His team blows. They suck. They just traded away their best player on top of all the suckitude that's happened there this year. They're trying to just get these games out of the way. They're trying to put themselves out of the misery that is the 2018 Baltimore Orioles. We want to try and get as many of those games done as possible.
In and out.
So they're probably hoping to start the game, get into that
rain,
fifth inning, get
rain.
That thing out of the way, try and get a game in an hour, and the rain came 24 minutes into the game, and it started to pour.
Oh my God,
so they were probably hoping the rain was a little lighter, and they could play through it and make an official game and be done. I can't buy in on the theory that the entire Orioles organization said, let's start the game, even though we know it's going to get canceled. Like, that didn't happen. That did not happen. The Red Sox are mad. David Price is mad. Everybody is mad. I get it. I'd be mad. Everybody, Baltimore players should be mad. You're wasting our time for.
Look at this, man.
Wow. What are you showing me?
Patriots
meet. Oh, I got one, too.
Fresh off the presses. Hey, these are hard to find.
Those,
people collect these.
Those are rare because they don't print them anymore.
Look at this.
So
you see what this is right here?
It's a thin paper now, too.
It's thin, but there are 30 pages dedicated to Tom Brady and his bio.
30.
That's
Howie,
too many
steal my copy.
I don't even want
don't
these
even
numbers.
Think about it, Howie.
Oh, my God. Look at this thing. Hey, and it's back to basics, too. You know what's not on here?
What?
Super Bowl trophies. One more.
Yeah, no, they don't have that.
It's just for six.
Helmet.
Just a helmet. Helmet with no number. 2018. That is it, baby. Wow, look at that.
Yeah, they're not as the paper is thin, though. They're just not like they used to be.
Remember the hard
stuff? Used to be
hard,
a real nice thick stock.
Right. Well, when you got a lot of stats, you got to kind of compact it in there.
It's good. It's good to have in the broadcast booth.
Reese was down there doing push-ups around it like a kid in a candy store.
617-779-0985. Byron in the Back Bay. Byron.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Good.
This Byron Barnett?
Yeah, 7 News.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to, all this talk about Bill Belichick and Jimmy G with the text message. I mean, I just want to get down to the nitty-gritty talk about Brian Hoyer. I mean, we know Brady's gone. He's done.
Brian Cole, right? Brian. I hope it's fine.
I feel like Hoyer might be the guy.
Yeah. That's a good call. God, if you're going to prank call us, at least be funny, Byron.
Now you're wasting my time. Like, the Red Sox had their time wasted. You're wasting everybody's time. I'm not against prank calls. Against prank calls that aren't
funny.
What
do you want me to do with that? What are we supposed to do with that? I'll tell you, what? It's funny
know.
He mentions Garoppolo.
With a Baba Booey or something, would
you? You know what I find myself doing now?
What are we doing here?
Yeah, we would sit here and get ready for shows, and I cram, and I listen to all the Patriots sound, all their pressers and press conferences and that. Found my way flipping through NFL Network last night, waiting on a Jimmy Garoppolo press conference.
You and Bill.
And
the two of you.
No, just to see. See, hey, and they went right at it.
What time was that at?
With the
porn star. What time was that at?
Oh, God, this was 10:30.
Yeah.
They're doing the wrap-ups, league wrap-ups. League wrap-ups.
Bottle of Lubriderm on the nightstand.
Yeah. And and they ask him to come out right out of the gate. As well,
Linda, I'm going to the living room for a minute. Thanks.
And they had Richard Sherman on, too. And you forget, that's right, Richard Sherman's with the 49ers. He was breaking Garoppolo's balls about, going out with this woman. And Jimmy addressed it. He goes, Kyle talked to me about it. And he said, things changed. You're under a microscope now. And we'll chalk that up as a learning experience. What did he get his hand slapped for it? I think guys in that room are giving him high fives. And it's probably going to bring that locker room together a little bit more. We got this new kid. He got all this money. What's he do? He goes out and he's dating porn stars.
Life is different now. My life off the field, I've never really been big on, being very public with things, even social media. I'm not out there a ton, but, my life's looked at differently. I'm under a microscope, and it's like Kyle said, it is a good learning experience. Just have to take it in stride. I mean, it is what it is.
It's almost like Kyle told him, be better.
Be better than what?
I don't know, but he's like, Kyle said, hey,
I gotta be honest.
When somebody above you of authority tells you, what you have to do here, son, chalk this up as a learning experience. You did something wrong, not right. I mean, who said he did anything wrong?
Who said he
did anything right? He went on a date with somebody.
She just happens to be a porn actress.
You'd be more concerned about what his parents would say to him. You got to deal with that at home, or your brother's calling you and texting you. Now, I guess everybody's breaking his balls over it in the locker room, which can be a good thing for him to lighten the mood and sort of bring a team. I don't know. It brings a team together. Little things like this. It's just part of the process for him. But here he is. You're seeking out. How's he going to address this? How's he sound? And he went on and on in that interview, but he was giving you cliche one day at a time things, because I know this sounds cliche, but it is what it is. And you're getting a lot of what you heard here over the years, transferred to what Jimmy is coming out of Jimmy's mouth.
John in Framingham on Jimmy G. John.
How you doing? I just wanted to get Zoe's opinion. I'm not a big Jimmy fan. I'm a diehard Patriots fan. Why? Because I am a diehard Patriots fan. I've watched him in preseason. I've watched him at his time with the Patriots, and I've never seen anything that great. I mean, I think the average person would have to agree that he's not a $24, $26 million quarterback.
Sure he is. You know, Ryan Tannehill makes $20 million a year? Ryan Tannehill. Yeah. How about the guy just signed with the Minnesota Vikings, Kirk Cousins? I like Kirk Cousins as a player. Kirk Cousins got $28 million a year guaranteed for, 4 years? This is the new norm, bud. Kid's pretty good. Jimmy Garoppolo can play, he can throw, and he showed it in 4 years. And he motivated a guy here in his late 30s to early 40s to go out to 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. Jimmy Garoppolo was good for this football team. He was pretty damn good.
Coming up next, it's today's takeaways. You will hear from Greg Bedard on Josh McDaniels returning to the Patriots and what sort of played out in that decision process. There is that. There's also Jason McCourty, who we spoke to today, and Zoe almost got hit in the head. That's all next.
On your radio and streaming on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Zolak and Bertrand in Training Camp. Sponsored by AdCare. 1-800-ALCOHOL.
Yeah. They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
You can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes for the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, time for today's takeaways brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life. The official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox.
You were hearing a Sharp story.
Yeah.
Which is why you're a little late.
Which I don't believe.
You why sure? Don't you believe
you're sure it's a great white?
100%, he said.
Remember Kevin I caught those two stripers a couple weeks ago?
Yeah. Was like fishing.
Literally right out in front of the house in the
Where were you?
Open end of the canal by Nashnee Island.
Okay.
This guy, Kevin Collins, is trying to tell me that he had a 30-incher hooked up.
30-pound?
30-pound what? Pound. You had a big
30-pound striper.
And he said a great white game and took the leader and everything, ate it right off.
Right off the line. I believe him.
That's what a kid says.
Yeah, Collins is legit. His fishing stories are not typical fishing stories. He tells the truth. I've seen photos to back up his stuff. So I would trust him on this.
Wow.
All right. To the takeaways we go.
I like that.
First takeaway of the day, Greg Bedard on Josh McDaniels.
Okay.
Not feeling appreciated. Appreciated.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot there. And I think that Josh McDaniels is sort of an X factor in all this. And, you know, I think the biggest reason that he came back was, from people that I've talked to, it was he finally heard from the Patriots, and people weren't specific about that, how much he was valued there. To that point, he didn't, you know how Bill is. Bill's just worried about the season. He doesn't want to say, oh, Josh, don't go interview with them. Like,
is that a horse blind, huh?
Yes, he does not. Bill does not care about any of that stuff. So Josh probably didn't hear anything. He went and interviewed, got the job, whatever. And then all of a sudden, the season ends. And, you know, the way I hear it, it was mostly a craft production. And Bill didn't have a whole lot of input. But I'm sure Bill's fine with it.
Didn't feel appreciated. And then he found out he was appreciated. And so he stayed. Part of the decision-making process.
What's going on
there
with people? Yeah, appreciate. Jeez,
it's a common theme here. Appreciation.
The sun's out. Look at that.
Today, Jason McCourty, brother Devin McCourty, hard hitting question that I had for him about his mom and the jersey she will wear this year. Here's the toughest question you're going to face all day. So we were talking about this earlier. What's your mom going to do for a jersey this year? She split the jersey in half in previous years.
Yeah.
Now you're both on the same team, but then it comes down to what number goes on.
So she already has a plan. She plans to have two jerseys, one with 32 on the front, one with 30 on the back and on the front, and opposite for both of the, on the back. So she wants to get it bedazzled in the whole nine. So she's already excited about her jersey for this season.
Quick question. They went with my idea.
Did
rotating numbers.
Devin, did he come out first?
Today?
No, when the twins were born.
Oh! Yeah. Oh, that's what that is?
Yeah. Because, I mean, 32's on the front, 30's on the back.
I mean, you want me to Google that?
No. Not that it matters.
We'll find out.
Ooh, which twin was born first.
We'll find out.
Well, it's interesting because you have twins.
Yeah.
So you know which one came out first.
Andrew came out first.
Andrew.
Yep. By a minute.
How was their food yesterday? Looked good. Nice little trays, all three. One, two,
yeah,
three.
You see that? Yeah.
Like grapes.
Mm. Your mother takes care of them.
Sure does.
I'll tell you that.
I said, that's for Beetle, Jim, and Zoe.
No, it's for those three kids. So there's that.
And the one's only three, huh? He's a tank.
Yeah. As you say, he's on the gas.
Yeah. It's just like chewing on wood.
Ready to play. Mm. This one before we go. And this is you almost getting injured here today.
Oh, my God. Hey, all these good backs. These backs that can run. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. What is our first one?
Hey, we have our first TV.
It's like a bullet. Wow.
What happened down there, buddy? You okay?
You didn't see it?
We should probably take this down. It's getting windy.
There was up. It's not raining. We can take it down.
I almost got hit by one of these.
Pull it down.
Tarps. Well, we have a
sound
Yeti.
Is not as good as you throwing the Yeti, but it's close.
Oh, that thing, that Yeti, that picks up good. I threw that Yeti hard, though. But those big, massive clips, industrial clips, and they were holding the tarp up. And we had a little
Jesus
side.
Christ, I'm sorry.
Side wind, side, you know what? All that. Backs, backs. Can't say that other thing. You know? Side, you know.
Almost hit you in the side of the head.
Yeah. Almost hit me in the side of the head.
Clipped you right there on the temple.
Yep. Damn.
Well, the weather now, it's sunny. Those showers have cleared out. It's hot.
Go to my pool.
It's starting to get hot. We had a nice breezy morning here, but now players should be thankful. They're not out there now.
Camp Cushy.
Be very hot.
Probably getting a massage.
Get her ice cream. Whop her down. All right, we're back here tomorrow.
Yes,
they'll
we
do
are.
It again, and I'm hoping that we see a little bit of a pickup in the action on
you
the
will.
Field.
Yeah, they'll start adding a little bit of stuff and start concentrating on some guys like Braxton Berrios tomorrow. We're going to come out here. We're going to watch him. I'm going to watch him specifically.
I saw some people on Twitter saying he had a good day. I didn't see much of him, admittedly.
Osikar had good days too early in camp yesterday. So we're going to pump the brakes. I'm going to watch him a little more closely.
Osikar had some really good days in camp and had good preseason performances.
Rivers and Wise. Let's take a look at those two young defensive linemen and see, you know, because saw Wise down. He's big as a house too. Ripped. So,
all right.
Let's watch them.
All right. So, we will do this again tomorrow from Foxborough, day two, Patriots training camp.
Yep.
Anything that develops, we will have it for you. Felger Maz coming
great
up next.
White, huh? Great white shark.
Great white.
In the Cape.
Right by the canal.
That's not good.
They're everywhere, man.
They're there.
You said we're in the cookie zone.
It's like the bear. You're like, we are in the bear.
Zoe said it yesterday. He calls it.
See, you're the shark.